In recent weeks, have you wished that you could slow down the world? In light of financial crises, violent crime, war, and the everyday banality of our lives, have you ever wished that you could just shout, stop? I've watched the news, opened the newspaper, answered my phone, perused my email, and the inundation of information has left me feeling exasperated. In our typical daily lives, we are confronted with and we seek out the secular, material, business-oriented world. Many of us also find ourselves continually compelled to go somewhere, to do something, bring children back and forth, add another extracurricular activity, care for others in need, add to our schedules, do, do, do. As it all rains down on me, as I feel like I'm drowning in a sea of earthly reality, I feel we're suffering, and I'd like a cure. Now, what if I told you that I've found an antidote to temper our modern flood of information, our need to be three places at once, our worry about what will happen tomorrow, and how will I survive today? What if I said this prescriptive antidote has undergone years of testing and has been found to be safe and effective through millions of trials? If I were a large pharmaceutical company, I would have to tell you about the side effects. So here they are. This remedy could lead to information withdrawal, carpool malfunctions, and downtime that might result in pondering life's questions, spiritual uplift, or facing your inner self in ways you've previously avoided. Other beneficial side effects may include animated conversations, great meals, and increased marital intimacy. As with any prescription, it's important to weigh the advantages against the drawbacks. And in this case, I say the benefits win. The illness is our crazy lives. The antidote is Shabbat. Now, before you dismiss Shabbat as just another thing to do, let me assure you that I am not talking exclusively about adding worship or anything else to your Saturday list of things to do. I'm talking about reprioritizing the week, adding rest, restoration, and peace to your arsenal of effective ways to live a wonderful life. I'm talking about bringing the internal desire for refreshment and renewal outward to the lives we lead. Today on Yom Kippur, a day in Leviticus described as a Sabbath of complete rest for you, the Sabbath of all Sabbaths, I'd like to tell you about three specific outcomes that accompany a weekly Shabbat state of mind. Shabbat offers a break from the chaos, a long-term coping mechanism for angst in our lives, and a celebration of what the world can be, the potential for peaceful living. Many Beth Torah members using Shabbat combat the chaos of Sunday through Thursday. Martha, a congregant whose family has grown into many Shabbat rituals, told me, "For us, the focus is Friday night. We try really, really hard to make that a family dinner. With two teens and two working adults in the household, this is not always easy, but we make it a priority. Some weeks, it's the only night we all eat together. We enjoy the rituals from our childhood, candles, wine, challah, and my husband has added another special ritual. It's the only night of the week we have dessert." God has a version of Shabbat, too, that is a break from the chaos. The Torah tells us that before God created the world, there was chaos. Sunday through Friday, God systematically took that chaos and made order, so that by the time the sun went down on Friday night, God could cease from his labors. We look around our world, and on any given day, we know that there is not seamless order. But Shabbat comes regardless, and we have the God-given right to step back, relax, and say, the world's chaos can wait. This is this week's order, or lack thereof, and the rest can wait until after Shabbat. In fact, waiting until after Shabbat to resume our regular tasks has great benefit for accomplishing our work and making order out of chaos. Shabbat allows us to put aside everything else and gain perspective. Listen to this example from Jan, a congregant whose comments you can hear in her own voice on the Sounds Like Beth Torah podcast called Shabbat Refreshing. Jan writes, or says, "I've made it a habit since the first of the year to go to Friday night services. The other thing I do is I don't work. That might sound like a little thing, but I own my own home-based business, so I can work 24/7. Before I started observing Shabbat, I tended to work a lot on the weekends. And now I know, and my clients know, that I don't work on Saturday. And the interesting thing has been how easy it is once you get past that first month. That first month you're twitching, I didn't check email, the world's collapsing. After a little while, you realize the world is not going to collapse if you don't check your email. The deadlines still get hit, and I found now that I've been doing it for a while, when I go back to work, I'm refreshed. My brain is working better because it's had a day off." Another family that's integrated Shabbat into their week was inspired by their daughter's upcoming bat mitzvah. For them, like with Jan and Martha, Shabbat observance has not always been a set routine aspect of their family's life. Now, parents and children are learning together what Shabbat can offer. Imagine the gift we give to our children when we teach them that no matter what life brings, our Jewish heritage brings Shabbat. You can say, sure, it's easy to carve out Shabbat time when everything else is stable and comfortable in your life. And yes, it is easier to do when there isn't angst. But imagine the power of making sure Shabbat still happens when there is trouble. We set up systems, rituals, and routines in most aspects of our lives. Creating Shabbat in good times is preventative medicine to guard our souls during bad times. When trouble ensues, those established routines bring us comfort, give us order, and confirm for us that there is something more than the uncertainty of financial crisis or emotional strife. There is the expected, welcomed warmth of loved ones, sacred time, times when all that matters is being together in the way God gifted us. The rest can wait until after Shabbat. Shauna writes, "It was clear that the bat mitzvah would be most authentically meaningful if we approached it as a family event and not only as a milestone for our daughter. On Friday nights, the kids get to pick the menu and no attention is paid to proper food groups. They look forward to this meal all week and share their enthusiasm with their friends. To add meaning and ritual, we now have a work-in-progress home service combining various resources that will continue to grow as we do. In addition to candles and kiddush, we give tzedakah, $1 for every person at the table, sing songs to welcome Shabbat, offer blessings as a couple and for our children. We discuss the week's Torah portion and the Jewish Book of Values by Rabbi Joseph Telushkin. We usually end dinner with a family walk. We've even taken umbrellas and flashlights in the rain. And then we return home to watch a movie. Currently, we've been catching up on Jewish films such as Fiddler on the Roof and Yentl. It's becoming very clear to the children the rich heritage that they are a part of. It seems that Judaism has provided a recipe of how to have a meaningful, family-focused life. It's always been there, and thankfully this life cycle event brought us back." While Shauna's description integrates many traditional rituals, Shabbat isn't only for people who hold to tradition. For our Beth Torah community, it is also definitely not a default activity for those who have nothing else happening on a given Friday night. Shabbat is an intentional choice and a priority. Shabbat is a planned celebration of what the world can be. It's prioritizing and celebrating the potential of peace through the generations. Take, for example, the Shabbat of another busy family in our congregation, whose story you can also hear more of in their own voices on the Beth Torah podcast called Shabbat Special Family Time. Lori writes, "The middle school and high school years have proven to be somewhat of a challenge for keeping us all together on Friday night. With a high school cheerleader and a son involved in sports year-round, we've become quite flexible in how we celebrate Shabbat. To us, the key is spending the time unwinding from the week, lighting the candles, being thankful for all our blessings, and showing our children that this is an important part of our lives. We've told coaches that Adam can't practice on Friday nights. We've invited large groups of teens to celebrate with us. Allie couldn't go to the movies with them, but they are always welcome to come here for dinner. When Allie has to cheer on Friday nights, we make a point to have an early Shabbat before she leaves for the game. We probably aren't following all the rules of Shabbat, but we feel connected to the Sabbath. All of Allie and Adam's friends know we have an open door all the time, but especially on Shabbat. We really want our friends and our children's friends to experience this great tradition with us. In the end, we'll know we've been successful when Allie and Adam carry this tradition with them to college and into their adult lives." The power speaks for itself. A family prioritizing Shabbat in light of football games and social pressure. It's that important. Secular obstacles can be respectfully avoided or incorporated while keeping sight of the core values of Shabbat. Embracing and adapting ritual is part of celebrating the potential for the peaceful world Shabbat emulates. Rituals provide an opportunity to pause and say, "This is holy." Rituals aren't to be feared as foreign or intimidating. They're simply learned behaviors laden with meaning. As Lori remembers, "Stephen and I began celebrating Shabbat shortly after we were married in 1991. It was a new experience for me. Remember, I'm a convert, so the entire event was new to me. I remember shopping in the gift shop on a Friday morning looking for the pamphlet that explained how to celebrate Shabbat. As I left the gift shop, the woman behind the counter said to me, 'Good Shabbos.' That was the first time I'd heard that saying, and it felt so special to me to be a part of this great heritage. We still have that pamphlet, but I've memorized all the prayers now." These are examples of ways congregants have structured their personal lives to allow in the power of Shabbat as a break from the chaos in our world, as a long-term coping mechanism for focusing on what really matters in life, and as a celebration of the world's potential for peaceful living. Shabbat and its existential relief, however, don't just happen. Like other meaningful celebrations, Shabbat takes planning. I'm inspired by some of our congregants' methods for creating Shabbat sacred time. Laura notes how important it is to prepare for Shabbat on Friday afternoon. She writes, "Sunday through Thursday, I ask my child or my husband to take time during the day to go home, let the dogs out, bring in the garbage cans, empty the dishwasher, get the mail. On Friday, I take the time to care for my home. I leave work in time to let the dogs out, to bring in the mail, and to make sure the house is reasonably picked up. No one else is home, and I usually have on music while I putter around. Then it's upstairs to get ready. Many times I don't change clothes for Shabbat, but I always wash up. I take care of my surroundings from my outer circle in, and I'm always unrushed and peaceful. It's very personal. And on the few weeks I don't get to do this ritual, I'm off balance." Another Shabbat preparation comes from The Art of Jewish Living, the Shabbat Seder. I read this book 16 years ago. A passage that impressed me so much then that it stuck with me all this time is Sally Shafton's description. "Friday mornings, when I come down, the first thing I do, even before I have a cup of coffee, is take out the Shabbat candles. Don't ask me why. I get the Shabbat candles out. Bob's kippah goes on his chair. The rest of the stuff comes out later. But the candles stay out all day." A description about how Shabbat anticipation helps us deal with anxiety comes from Larry Nienstein in the same book. I start to think about Shabbat when I get hassled at work. The earlier I get hassled at work, the sooner I start to think about Shabbat. I think this week I was thinking about Shabbat on Monday. I couldn't wait until Friday night. These three examples remind me that Shabbat preparation takes time. It takes effort to begin organizing and to rise above the chaos. For some of us, our habits also mean preparing for Shabbat takes reminding. So today, you'll receive a little reminder, a button that reads TGIS. Thank God it's Shabbos. So many times, visitors to my office notice my big TGIS button, and I've heard over and over, I need that. So today you get one to wear on Friday, to put on your car visor, to subtly wear on Saturday under your running clothes, because thank God it's Shabbos isn't only about lighting candles or making kiddush, coming to shul or Jewish learning. Thank God it's Shabbos is about a Shabbat state of mind in whatever we do on Friday night and Saturday. It's about recognizing the sanctity of the day, setting it apart, saying, this day is different and special, and I embrace its potential for peace. I hope that you'll use the Shabbos buttons to consciously build upon your own Shabbat. For Shabbat, you might invite others over, take a walk, create mindfulness around rituals, refrain from work, come to worship, participate in study, embrace quiet. Whatever your definition of the peace you seek for your life, Shabbat is an ancient remedy for the eternal struggle between chaos and peace. It connects us through all time to the search for holiness. Henry reflects on her Shabbat candle ritual, writing, "I deliberately position my candlesticks so that I can see them whenever I'm moving about the house on Erev Shabbat. I cannot keep from smiling every time I pass them. All over the world, people that I love have carried the light of Shabbat tonight. May my candles burn long enough to carry the light until those who will carry it after me." The world won't stop for us, but we can refuse to let it run us ragged. The Shabbat prescription is inexpensive, widely available, and its effectiveness is both immediately noticeable and it improves the more you use it. We all can choose a day away from chaos, a day to gain perspective, a day for celebrating peace. I hope that you'll share with me how you create a Shabbat state of mind. I'll look forward to hearing the ways in which you actively create your own Shabbat Shalom. Abraham Joshua Heschel asked, "Is there any institution that holds out a greater hope for progress, for human progress, than the Sabbath?" And I say, it's the greatest hope we have. Gemar Chatzimah Tovah.